I think Jackie set me up this morning. He wanted to see if I could preach when I was out of breath. So we'll see. We'll see. Can anybody tell me what the challenge for 2024 that I gave you last week is? Say that. Praise and worship. In what context? The more we learn and train ourselves, right, to do what? Praise Him and worship Him. The more we get to experience what? His presence, right? His presence. So last week's message, that's what I encouraged you to do was to increase or look for ways to increase how you can raise your level of praise and worship. I think Jackie tried to force that, right? No, I'm just playing. I love it, Jackie. You did a good job. But you know, when that begins to happen, and I've experienced this lately, even though we have gone through a very dark period in our life, I've experienced this lately of just knowing that, man, when I praise Him, He reaches out and He puts His arm around my shoulder. And He says, I'm here. I got you. It's okay. It's all right. And I remember that on the next day when I'm, And then you know what I do? I say, you know what? I remember that yesterday, God, that you put your arm around me. So guess what I'm going to do today? I want you to put your arm around me on this side, and then I want you to put your arm around me on this side. And when you do that, then I'm going to praise you even more, and then you know what's going to happen next? He's going to close those arms again. And he goes, oh, you're mine. I love you. I love you. So when you increase your praise and worship to the Father, then His presence becomes more evident. All the time. All the time. So as I was working on this series of messages, which you've guessed it by now, I hope, is to bring us in 2024 into a focus on true worship, the Holy Spirit took me to several places in the Bible that I've read before. And you know, as pastors say, oh, I've read that before. I know what that means. God said, well, you just think you know what that means. So He took me to some places and He began to teach me a little bit more about what some of these passages mean. And what I mean by that is not this surface level, right? He took me a little deeper, okay? And I love that. I love that. As I was contemplating last week's message, one of the places He took me to was a familiar story that you find in John chapter 4. And when we read this here shortly, you're going to recognize it. Most of you already do just by me saying John chapter 4. But in John chapter 4, it informs us about the type, okay, the type of worshiper that God is seeking. Now, this is one of my favorite stories from Jesus' ministry. And as I share this encounter with you, when we get down to verse 23 and 24, and I know what you're thinking, man, He's going to read that many verses? Yeah, I'm going to read that many verses. But when I get down to verse 23 and 24, that's where we're going to focus the rest of our time this morning. It should be on your screen, but if you've got your Bible, join with me as I read from John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus Himself did not baptize, but only His disciples, He left Judea and departed again from Galilee, and He had to pass through Samaria. So He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as He was from His journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. The woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Verse 22, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us this thing. And I love this, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, I started not to read that whole passage, but I just can't help myself. Theologically speaking, that is a very rich passage. And we have nowhere near the amount of time we need to really break that down. And that's why I encourage you, as we read, to look at 23 and 24. Because our focus this month is what? On worship. Well, here Jesus tells this woman at the well the type of worshiper and the type of worship that comes out of that worshiper that God is what? It says right there that God is seeking. So I don't want to just encourage you to worship. I want to show you from the Bible what it is that God is looking for when you worship. Okay? And y'all know this, as humans, it's not a matter of whether we will worship. Didn't Jesus say that to the woman? He says, you worship, but you really don't understand. You don't really know what it is you're worshiping. You know, as human beings, we'll worship. Okay? It's the what or the whom we'll worship instead, right? You know, in this upside-down world we find ourselves in, our worship is often given to the music star. Any football fans, sports fans? It's driving me crazy, all the attention they're putting on this Swift lady, person. She can sing, I get it. But they go to commercial break, they talk about her. They come back to start the game, they talk about her. In the middle of the game, they talk about her. Why? People worship her, right? It's misguided, though. It's misguided, right? So if it's not the music star, hey, it's one of the guys on the field, right? It's our favorite athlete. Anybody have a favorite athlete growing up? I had lots of them, right? I get like Michael Jordan sometime. No, I'm just kidding. My favorite team, right? Most of you think I'm going to say Georgia Bulldogs. No, I'm going to say Clemson Tigers. Yes, right? South Carolina, no, right? But really, it's Pittsburgh Steelers. So we all have those things. We all have those things, right? Or get this, what about your favorite TV show? Everybody, I think, loves Andy Griffith. Man, that's an old show. But even kids today are like, man, that's a great show. I love it, right? So we worship even though it's often misguided. How about this one? Anybody got this might hit the younger generation, y'all, a favorite TikToker? You know what? I tried to spell that, and my autocorrect tried to tell me that I wasn't spelling it correctly. or how about this? How about your favorite preacher? Or let me just put it this way. Your favorite, you fill in the blank. I think by this point you know what I'm talking about. You see, as fallen creatures, it is our self-serving nature that leads us to place little value on what truly is important. And in long-term thinking, big picture thinking, we put little value on what's important, and those are the things that truly have real value, that have real worth. We do that instead of doing what? Putting larger or greater value on those things. Okay? Now look, I'm not excluded from this. And if you're honest with yourself and you search deeply, what you'll find is you do these things, I guess almost naturally. But we pursue something better, do we not? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, okay? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we do. We pursue something better. It's just in our nature. But we live lives in constant pursuit of status or fame or notoriety or money, wealth. But often, many people do this with a large expense, the expense of their soul. See, it's our nature to pursue those temporary or temporal things, those worldly things, as opposed to the eternal, more important things that come from where? From the Creator, from God. So, as we prepare ourselves for 2024 and we say to ourselves, man, I want to become more worshipful this year, right? Can I just say this? You got to change your mindset to focus on what? The eternal. To focus on the things of God. I believe if you go and you search Scripture, you'll find a verse in there that says what? Set your mind on the things what? Above. Right? That's what I'm talking about. If you want to feel the presence of God and you want to become more worshipful in 2024, guess what? Change your mind thinking. I've said this in the past. You got to stop having stinking thinking. And switch it to having good thinking, right? Put your things on the, or your mind on the things above, on the things of God, on the things that really mean something, that really have a value, that really have a worth for you in your life. So, this is where verses 23 and 24 from this morning's passage should stand as essential to what it is we are trying to accomplish here, right? And it should be back up on the screen, but what does it say? Jesus tells this lowly little Samaritan woman, right? The hour is coming. Now, why would he say that? Because her whole life, she'd been told, guess what? There's going to come a time when the Messiah will be here with us. So he reminds her that. The hour is coming, then he follows that by saying what? Guess what? It's here. And then he follows it and he says, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And I love this. This is what we're talking about. For the Father is looking for what? He's seeking such people to worship him. See, God don't want worshipers who are fake, who are false. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just pointing out reality. You look at the world we live in, there's a lot of fake worshipers. And you know where you find them most of the time? Thank you. I'm glad y'all said that, not me. But it's true, y'all. It's true. Look, they want to worship Taylor Swift and the Georgia Bulldog and who won this year? Michigan and whatever. You know, that's fine. But look at me. That's a temporary thing. There's going to be a day and a time that you're not going to get that opportunity because it's not even going to be there. It's a temporal existence. So why do we want to waste our time on it? Does it make us feel good? Absolutely. Do we enjoy it? Absolutely. Anybody ever been to a concert? Anybody ever been to a football game? Yeah, if you know anything about me, a lot of you do, man, I was a sports junkie. I still kind of am. God's kind of molded me and teaching me that that's just something for enjoyment here. Because you know he made all this stuff on earth for us to do what? Us to enjoy. But when we enjoy that, instead of praising that, who should we really be giving the praise to? To God. I'm glad God made football. I love it. I do. Back when I was in high school, he made this sport called wrestling. I really like that one. You know? I'm too old and too fat to do that now. But man, I loved it back then. I eat, slept, breathed it. But at the end of the day, you know what's more important than any of that? Him and only him. God's seeking the people who want to genuinely, authentically, truly worship him. And then he follows it up and he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Anybody ever wondered what that really meant? I mean, I've read it a lot, and I think I know what it means, right? But you ever really wondered what that means? The truth part ought to be easy to us, right? Truth is the simplest, I think, to understand. Our worship must center around what? Not just the Bible, okay, but around who? Who was that conversation centered around at the well? Jesus, wasn't it? So she looked at him and said, why are you talking to me? You a Jew. And he didn't like hang on that, did he? He didn't play into that. He just started having a conversation with her. And he told her who he was. Why? Because that's what everything we are as believers has to be centered on. It has to be focused on the guy sitting at the well, Jesus Christ. Our worship has got to center on who Jesus is. Truth. We worship in spirit and truth. Truth focuses on all his work. All his work. And it's supported and validated through the Holy Scriptures first. But you know there's a second way it's validated. You know how the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is validated just as much as right here in the Word, right here in the Bible? In the Spirit of God that lives where? In our hearts, in the believers. So how does that validate? Well, when people see you being different because of him, then what does that mean? Hey, they look at you and they say, well, boy, that, and y'all are not going to believe this because y'all didn't know me when I was younger, but when they look and say, boy, that old Brian, he used to have a filthy mouth back in the day. But then they meet me now and they hadn't seen me in about 20 years and they find out I'm a preacher, I got to pick them up off the floor. But look, it ain't got anything to do with me. It's got everything to do with Jesus. Because I made a decision, you know what, I'm going to stop pretending, I'm going to stop playing, and I'm going to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to follow him. And guess what? Overnight, boom! No, that didn't work that way in my life. It works that way with some. Here I am, whoo, a lot of years later, doing something that I told God a long time ago I wasn't ever going to do. But as he matured me and he grew me and he molded me and he shaped me, I began to understand that this is what he called me to do. And the more I do it, the more I get to fall in love with him. The more I study his word, the closer he gets. And look, y'all remember, if you were here 5 years ago when I came, I still do it. Self-esteem thing, right? It's a self-esteem thing. I don't really sing that well. But what have you noticed a lot in the last year or so? I've started singing a little bit. It don't sound good, but I've been singing. I was told this morning we got some musical people in the room. I said, hallelujah, I got to have somebody drown me out. But look, what I want you to see is I don't care about this like I used to. Because what I care about now is him more than I ever have. And many of you know what's happened in our life. And ooh, people say, how are you making it? If I answer that for just me, I am not making it. But if I answer it under the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what I say? Because of Him. Because of Him. And I love it. I love it. You know what? When you become a true worshiper of God, and you understand what it means to worship in truth and in spirit, God, just something opens up in you. And where you used to look at somebody and say, well, I'm not, you know, I mentioned it last week, I ain't going to take my hands out of my pocket. Dwight might hit me in the back of the head and say, what are you doing? Put your hands back in your pockets. But you stop thinking about stuff like that. You stop worrying about Juan looking at you and saying, what are you doing? That was pretty good. I got it that time. You don't worry about stuff like that. You the Spirit takes over, and before you know it, whew, it just comes out. It just comes out. And then when you're done, you look around, and guess what? Ain't nobody sitting there going, why'd you do that? You're looking silly. You sounded horrible. You know what they say? Man, I wish I could be like him. Or I wish I could be like her. And, I get it, Jackie. You say you hear a voice. I told y'all last week, when I sing, it's like Carrie Underwood or Clint Black or somebody like that can actually sing. Truth's the easiest one. You know, in John 14:6, you know what Jesus said? And it's very true. If you don't know this, you don't know this, you don't know this, you don't believe this, can I encourage you today to just look at it on the screen and let it pierce into your heart, pierce into your mind, because Jesus said, I am the way. And then here it is, the truth and the life. Look, life here is tough. Life there is going to be awesome. But I ain't there yet. But it gives me something to look forward to. But when I put my faith and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I know that that's a promise. And you know what that promise is? When he says, I am the way, you know what that means? The world's going to tell you there's many ways. Nope, there's one way. And it's Jesus Christ. And then he says, you know what? That's the truth, because I'm the truth. And he said, when you believe that, then guess what you get? You get real life. Temporary life. Eternal life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I love it. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is my soapbox moment. If you not give your life to Jesus Christ, I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're waiting on. I know he's waiting on you to just finally say, okay, I'm done. I've told many of you, I ran from ministry for years. God started calling me to be a pastor at 16. You know when I finally said, okay, God, 30. 30 years old. What did I waste for the kingdom in that 14 years? He forgave me of that, by the way. He did. That's just how good he is. That's just how awesome he is. That's just how fulfilling and how faithful he is to his promises. He says, if you come to me and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, I will do that. If you not give your life to Christ, I don't know what you're waiting on. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2:14 because Paul understood this concept in teaching Timothy. And in verses 14 through 19, this is what he said. He reminded them of these things and charged them before God. Who is he telling? He's telling Timothy, a pastor, a young pastor, right? He says, hey, remind them about these things. Not to what? Quarrel about words. You know, we come into the church sometimes and we have these little debates over who's right and who's wrong over the word. But guess what? There's one truth. Jesus says, I'm the truth. He says, do not quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins what? The hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I'm going to pause. Go back a minute, Brian. He's going to get mad at me and say, why are you pausing there? You're going to give me more work to do. right? The word of truth. We just heard Jesus say, I am the truth, right? We have to rightly handle the gospel message that is Jesus Christ. And it's not hard, guys. It's not hard. We just have to make sure we handle it properly. You know why? Because somebody's soul is at stake. Somebody's life is at stake. And we don't want to mess it up, do we? We don't want to mess it up. Let's go on. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. And then verse 19, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Do you think Paul understood what it meant to be a true worshiper? To worship in spirit, and then, as we've been talking about so far, in truth. If somebody tells you that this Bible has errors and mistakes, you need to shut them down. Because the truths have no error and mistake. Now, certainly, are there misinterpretations? Can we find those? Yep. Why? Because our language is not like the original languages. They didn't have words that we have. So does that get... But what doesn't get changed is the truth of God that you find in the Word. And one of those, we sang about it. All three songs talked about what? Being cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful how God works all this stuff out? I like how Jackie started. He said, hey, I planned this. If it's bad, it's on me. It's good, Jackie. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. Now, what about spirit? There's some potentially confusing language here. Because Jesus says God is spirit. And then he says we are to worship in spirit. Well, is he talking about our spirit? Or our soul? Or is he speaking about what? The Holy Spirit. Well, it's this humble pastor's belief that Jesus is referring to both. Simply because of the beautiful union that exists between a believer and the Father. Do you know that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, and boy, this is really becoming real to me a lot lately too, especially in the last couple of years. I've always knew this and felt like I understood it, but now I'm really beginning to experience it. But do you know when you give your life to Jesus Christ, that there's this little extra that you get. It's a big extra, actually, but you get the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit sealed inside your heart. For eternity. Whew. Now, I've said this before. I got a friend that says, if I don't stir your grits, you got problems. If I don't get the lumps out, you got some problems. It's a beautiful union that the believer in Jesus Christ gets to experience between that believer and the Father because of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean your soul goes away? No, that means your soul is there. And guess what? Before Jesus Christ, it was wretched. It was bad. It was sinful. And guess what? If the Holy Spirit comes to reside in your heart and that's where it stays, like that's the end of it, you know what I'm saying? That's all there ever is. You say, okay, well, I got Jesus. I'm good. But you don't ever allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in your life and permeate in your life and work in your heart. Guess what will happen? The Bible talks about this too. You'll battle what? Flesh and blood, right? You'll want to do what pleases you and not what pleases God. And I've said this before. We take the Spirit of God and we put him in that closet and we lock him away and we say, I got this, until trouble hits. And then we go over and unlock that closet and say, oh, I don't know what to do. God, help me. And then he gets us out of that trouble, and we say, woo, thank you, Jesus. And guess what we do? All right, you got your place. Come on. Get back in here. Lock the door. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop doing that. And I've said this before. We got to get in the closet. And if we really want to be honest with ourselves, if we could, reach through the door and lock the door ourselves and stay there and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and do all the work. So it's this pastor's humble belief that when Jesus says God is spirit, worship him in spirit and truth, he's talking about his spirit and our spirit together in unison. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Isn't it a beautiful thing? So I come up with this little example I want to give you. Most people think that worship is only as good as the presenter. Or worship is only as good as what can be touched or felt or seen or heard. So there's this man who moved from up north, and he moved into a new town, and he was thinking about, you know, I think it's a new town, new start. I think I'm going to start back going to church. So he's driving around town, and he passes a lot of churches as he's driving around, especially, you know, he moved to the south, so there's churches everywhere, right? But as he's driving around, he passes this one church. He said, man, look at that church. Man, that thing is beautiful. Look at that, man. It's full of cars. And he says to himself, and he asks this question, which is my favorite question as a pastor. He said, boy, I wonder how many people they running over there. They had a lot of cars in the parking lot. That's supposed to be a joke, but y'all didn't get it. Anyway, so he decides to stop in, and he goes in, and man, they got this immaculate stage. I mean, just beautiful. Got this praise band. They got guitars. They got drummers. They got these keyboardists. All this stuff. Lights, smoke, all this stuff. And he goes out, and he gets in the car, and he calls up his friend, and he says, you know what? I went to church this morning, and that band they had, man, it was better than AC/DC back in the day. Man, they could kill it. I'm telling you, they were good. They were good. Well, and you know why they were good? That girl singing. I don't know why she hadn't been on American Idol or The Voice or one of those TV shows. Well, because she's good. That girl can sing. And boy, that preacher, he's something else. He talked about how I could have this great life, and he was full of energy. And how, you know, the world could give me all these opportunities. And boy, I just left just, all fired up. Well, then he went on about his week and didn't think any more about it. And the next week he was driving around, and he started to go to that same church. And on his way there, he took a different road. And he passed this little church sitting on the side of the road, and it was all shabby and looked like it needed a lot of work done to it. Had about four cars in the parking lot. And he passed that church, but he got on up the road, and something inside of him said, you know what, you ought to go back and go to that church. And when he got in there, he walked in, and he sat down. He did not see anybody sitting at the piano or the organ, so he began to wonder to himself. He said, boy, this is a little different than last week. I wonder if they even sing in this church. Well, time came for worship. 12 or so people that was there stood up. The preacher got up in front of everyone, and he said, all right, everybody turn in their hymnals to page so-and-so. We're going to sing this song. He's looking around. There's no music. Well, they start singing. And he says to himself, boy, I'm glad the lady on the front pew can sing, because the rest of us are struggling. But as the song went on, it was talking about things like power in the blood. And it was talking about things about how God can impact your life. And then they sang another hymnal, and guess what it was talking about? It was talking more about Jesus. And the worship ended, and everybody sat down, and the preacher got up to preach. And this is one of those old-fashioned preachers that I was told one time it was like watching a tennis match, and I needed to stay behind this podium. So if you feel like you're watching a tennis match, I'm sorry, but that's just who I am. But this preacher, you know, he stayed behind that podium, and he read straight from the Word, and it was an Old Testament passage. And the guy sat there the whole time going, God, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? But the message that day was talking about a prophecy that was prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ and the importance of that. And that little old girl that was in the front row that he thought could sing beautifully, at the end of the service, she got up and she went down and she was just emotional and she was tore all to pieces. And the preacher said, you know what? This young lady's come this morning and she has decided to give her life to Christ. And those 11 or 12 people just clapped. They hooted and they hollered and they, whoo, made a big deal out of it. So this guy gets in his car to leave. And he starts his car and he puts it in reverse and he goes to back out. And in the middle of the parking lot, he stops and he puts it in park. And the Spirit of God falls on him. And he just weeps. And he says, today I've worshiped. Now, that's a lot to get here, but let me just say this. Worship has nothing to do with the external things. If you come here looking for a show, you'll leave disappointed. If you come here expecting anything other than to see genuine, true believers giving praise and honor and glory where it ought to be, then you'll leave disappointed. You see, it's the internal worship that takes place in our hearts and in our lives. And guess what the internal ought to do? Drive the external. Now look, many of you are going to leave and say, boy, he was picking all them people that do this and do that. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I believe there's people out there that internally they're worshiping, and because how they're worshiping, that's what's coming out. Okay? It's your internal that drives your external. So I'll say this, if you feel like the Spirit of God wants you to clap, clap. If the Spirit of God wants you in the middle of my preaching to come up here at the altar and pray because that's what you feel like you need to do, then don't just sit there and hold it back. Get up and do it. If somebody looks at you funny, look, I'll take care of it. I got you back.
I'll hear.
If you don't fall, I'm just playing. But my point is, guys, if it's coming from here, then all that external stuff will be genuine and it'll be taken care of. But if you're coming looking for the external stuff to get you here, you're going to leave disappointed more than you will pleased. True worship engages every ounce of who we are. And while those external things help our worship, and they can be important, they cannot be the essence of our worship. We must understand that true worship is internal, and out of the internal flows the external. That's Romans 12:1, y'all, being lived out. Look at the screen. What does it say? Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, listen, to present your bodies. Now, when we talk about our bodies, what's in there? Our heart, our mind, our soul. So what's he mean there? Every ounce of who we are, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. How did Jesus say? Worship in spirit and truth. You want to worship in spirit and truth? Guess what it's got to be? You got to put everything that you are into it. It's also living out the instructions of Moses to the Israelites, which was expanded upon by Jesus when he said this. And y'all know this. Mark 12, and I'm using that one because of how it's written, but it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all what? Your heart, with your soul, that's your spirit, your mind. And Jesus goes further and says, some translations say might. This one says what? All your strength. All your strength. Every ounce of who you are, true worship, will engage every ounce of our being. If not, then guess what? It doesn't match the standards set before us by Jesus Christ himself. If we have no real love for God, then guess what there'll be no evidence of? Passion in our worship. I'm going to change, y'all. Not because I want to, because he's going to change me. And Jackie used to joke, and he said, bet we get 70, what was it, 75 Or is it 80? Y'all notice I keep trying to bump that number up. He told me if we got a certain number here on a regular basis, I was going to have to do a solo. And that's fine and dandy. After that solo, there won't be nobody here. But I agree to it. You're trying to lower it. Don't lower it. That must be what's here today. You want me to sing, don't you? Oh, my goodness, y'all. If we have no real love for God, if Jesus is not our everything, then there'll be no passion in our worship. And if there is and there's no love, guess what? It'll be fake. And I'm not trying to hurt feelings. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. Along with that, we got to strive to stay informed. Lack of knowledge concerning God means there is no worship in truth. Worship without spirit and truth becomes this emotional rise and fall based solely on external factors. And it might make you feel good in the moment, but when you walk out those doors or any other church's doors and you leave, guess what? Very soon afterwards, you'll be dry, you'll be passionless, and you'll be lacking in true joy. See, the more we worship God, the more we experience His presence. And those experiences fill us with joy. And it is our joy, combined with our knowledge, that'll make us appreciate Him more. And the more appreciation we have for God, guess what? The deeper our knowledge goes, but then the deeper our worship becomes. And the more God, here's the thing, when all that starts taking place, the more God gets glorified. You know what your purpose on earth is? Anybody ever said, I wish I just knew what my purpose is? Yeah, there's a plan and there's a purpose for things you do in this world, but you know what your overarching purpose is? It's one thing, to glorify God. He made you for that. He made you for that. That's your one purpose, to glorify God. Now, page 12 in your hymnal, if you'll get a blue hymnal in front of you. If you don't have one in front of you, our folks on the front row, let's see if we can get some. And I'm going to ask Jackie to come help me because my cold is not going to let me do it. But Fanny Crosby wrote this song. And I'm just going to read the first stanza and then I'm going to ask Jackie. After I read this, I want everybody to stand and I want y'all to sing this song. This says, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing ye saints. Y'all remember that message I give you about stop talking about being a sinner saved by grace and start calling yourself a saint? It says, sing ye saints, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, mightiest angels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will feed His people in His arms. He carries them all day long. O ye saints that live in the light of His presence, praise Him, ever in joyful song. When we truly worship in truth and spirit, not only will He draw close, that first stanza says He'll carry us every step of the way. That's the Jesus that I love. That's the Jesus that I'm passionate about. That's the Jesus that I serve. You can be seated for just a moment. Just a moment. I want to get very real with you. I want to get very real with you. With God, you have to make a choice. You either have to choose Him or deny Him. That's all there is. There's not a gray in the middle. There's not a far right. There's not a far left. There's either you give your life to Him or you continue to run. If you've given your life to Him already, but yet you maybe aren't where you need to be, make it right. Make it right. If you're here this morning and you say, man, you know what? Maybe the preacher's right. Maybe I need to stop running. Maybe today's the day that I say yes. Man, I'd love for it to be today. You know, we need more January birthdays. And today would be a great day to say, man, you know what my real birthday is? January 14th, 2024. We're going to play a song. I'll be right here. I'll pray with you. I'll speak with you. I'll do whatever I need to do. Whatever business you need to do with God, I just encourage you to do it this morning. And don't leave empty. Don't leave dry and passionless. Leave with something that's so magnificent that when it gets a hold of you, you can't put it in a box anymore. And then go into this world and be a light into the darkness. Come if you need to. I'll be here.
Watching for you and for me.
That song plays, you know it's God calling and you're denying it. Just think about it. Just think about it. If I can help you, I will. If I can encourage you, I will. But there's nothing more special than knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Nothing. Nothing. Can we pray and we'll dismiss? Don't forget tonight at 6:30, we'll pick up our Matthew study, and then Wednesday night at 6:30, our care ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, that you break us. You tear us down for a reason. And then after we get tore down, you put us back together. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you in this place today, we've been reminded that you're seeking a true worshiper, not a fake one, but a true one. That loves you, that knows you, and embraces your spirit that lives inside of us. So my prayer as we leave today, God, is that we will allow you to permeate every aspect of our life, and that your spirit will take over and be in control and be in charge. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And we can't wait to see what you do, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. God bless.